Hey, Frank here. This is 15 Minutes with Frank, and I'm so glad you're back to join us. And first off, I gotta say thank you. Thank you so much. You guys are ridiculous. Like, I don't know how many people I thought were gonna listen to this podcast or watch this thing. And I got a text from a friend who said, hey, you're beating Mark Driscoll right now in the top 100. You broke the top 100 podcast on iTunes today when I launched this on November 1st. And I went to my phone and I saw that, yes, I was ahead of Mark Driscoll. And I was climbing. I think at one point I was as high as 41. That's ridiculous, guys. This is crazy. The feedback you guys have been giving me has been awesome. It's so encouraging. You guys have been saying such nice things, sharing my podcast with other youth pastors and youth workers. And again, I just got to say thank you so much. This is fun for me. And this is an opportunity for me to help kind of pour, like just hang out with you guys and share some of the ideas that I have and actually even snag some ideas that you guys have that I can apply to my student ministry. And the fact that you guys actually want to listen to this and subscribe is the most amazing thing ever. So I really, really appreciate it. I also want to give a shout out to the After 9 podcast. They had me on there and they did a little interview. And if you go to After 9, the After 9 podcast in iTunes, you can find it. It's a great podcast with some great folks. And they spent 30 minutes with me interviewing me about ministry and life. And it was so much fun. And so it was so great. Make sure you go check them out. Support those dudes. It's great. And I am just so overwhelmed that you guys are actually wanting to listen to this. If you haven't done so, please subscribe. Subscribe here on iTunes. Subscribe on YouTube. So that way you'll miss anything. You know what I'm saying? And if you want more details, any links and the stuff that I talk about, go to frankgill.me and click on the blog, and all those details were there. Besides that, let's head into this. Let's get into the thick of this, because I have a lot to talk about. Let's talk about what I did last Sunday in my student ministry. Last Sunday night, my games guy and my worship leader both backed out. And so I was kind of like now having to like take on this role last minute to do all the games as well as all the worship and what we decided to do for worship. So after the kids got there and we had a snack and they hung out, we did three games, and I'm a member of the DYM. I'm a DYM member, and what that means is like I pay like I think it's $20 a month or something like that, and every month DYM gives you a bunch of stuff: messages, curriculum, leadership stuff, and games. And the biggest thing I like about it is games, because I'm not a games person. Immediately, like I have to like really work to find some good quality games. And so the fact that they give us free games is great. And so the two things they had that I grabbed from there, one was called Panda Workout. And basically, it's like a one-minute goofy video of a panda doing really, really silly workout stuff. And the kids absolutely loved it. In fact, afterwards, my leaders were saying that was ridiculous. The fact that it was a little creepy, the kids loved it. It was so much fun. When that's available in the store, you should pick that up. I don't know how much it's going to be, but it was hilarious and it was super fun. Shout out to DYM for that. Then we also, one of the things that was also in the DYM membership, I think it was in DYM membership, was it's called Sloth Race. And basically, there's these three different videos of these three sloths racing. It's all like, you know, animated. It's not a real sloths racing. And the kids had to guess who was going to win that race. And so what I decided to do is I put three different areas in my youth room and said, if you think Sloth 1 is going to win, run to this area. If you think Sloth 2 is going to win, run to this area, and so on and so forth. And for each video, I had the students run to the spot they thought the sloths were going to win. And the video is silly, like lightning bolts come out and like murder the sloths and stuff. It's just really, really fun, silly video. The kids absolutely loved it. And then the other game we played is another DYM game, and it's called So You Want to Move to Canada. So the way I set that up was this, is that I told the kids, I said, who here is like nervous about this upcoming election? And then I said, who here would rather move to Canada than have these two people as president? And then and so a couple kids raised their hand, and I immediately chose those kids to come up front. And I said, so you'd rather move to Canada? Well, let's see how much you know about Canada. And so it's a multiple choice game with all these different fun facts about Canada, silly and stuff like that. And the kids ate it up. They thought it was so funny. It was so silly. And they learned stuff about Canada. Hopefully they don't move to Canada, because I want them to still be in my youth group. But it was a super fun, silly game that the kids absolutely loved. So one thing that we have been trying to do for the past couple weeks is figure out a way how to transition from the game time to worship, because they're so high energy during games, and worship is a little more reflective, or you know, a little more spiritual. How can we transition that gap? And so one thing we thought maybe we'd do is show videos. So maybe like 1-2 minute, maybe at the most 4 minute videos that kind of is like really well made, but also kind of transitions well into the time of the games. I mean, sorry, into the worship. And so I decided I was going to get a Bible Project video. You know who Bible Project is? YouTube Bible Project. They make great animated videos explaining stories about, explaining like the overall themes of books of the Bible as well as different themes found in Scripture. So I was going to show a video about God's kingdom and what does God's kingdom mean for us, the gospel and God's kingdom. But I don't know if you've ever done this before, but I made the mistake of like getting the video ready, queuing it up and setting everything, but I forgot to put it in ProPresenter. And so like in the middle of my mess, in the middle of the whole time after the game, I'm saying, okay, hit the video. There's no video. Like the person running the computer says, there's nothing here. And I was like, oh no. And so I don't know if it's ever happened to you. If it's ever happened to you, like in the middle of your message, maybe you forgot a slide, maybe you forgot to upload a game, maybe something happened. I would love to hear your stories of like the biggest flop that you ever had in that regard, because I flop all the time. That I wish this was not a regular occurrence. I need to like have my someone else double check everything from Planning Center that's into ProPresenter. But one thing we did is like one thing I've always learned about this is if something like that ever happens, like we don't have the video file or something is going wrong with the computer. Someone taught me this a long time ago, is pretend that you planned it. The kids don't know that it's something's missing. Just roll with it. Just run with it. And so we're like, oh, we don't have the video? All right, let's go to the next thing. And so in lieu of worship, I put out on Facebook in the youth men group, in the DYM group, I said, hey, my worship leader backs out. I don't have time for kids to lead it. What would you do instead? And I got a bunch of different suggestions. I'm not the biggest fan of doing like YouTube videos or even the iTunes stuff. I might work in other student ministries, but in our context, it's a little cringy. Like it's a little weird and our kids aren't fans of it. So instead of trying to come up with some kind of sing-song time for worship, what I decided to do was have some intentional time of prayer. So I put three different things on the screen. I put pray for our president, pray for the local races that are going on, like the senator races and things like that, as well as praying for our school, our friends, and our family, and our community. And so I broke it up into small groups, and they spread out throughout the entire youth room, and they would look up, and they look at the screen, and they would pray for those different things. And we I got about 12 to 15 minutes to pray for all that kind of stuff, and it was a meaningful time. It was a good time of prayer. I encouraged all leaders to make sure that every single kid prays, to not just have one person pray or just the leader pray, but to have all the students kind of pray, and to kind of flex that kind of muscle, to get students learning how to pray corporately as a group. And it was a good time in lieu of having musical worship. And so we started a new series called Why I'm Not a Christian. We started a new series that I called Why I'm Not a Christian. And the series is about, it's an apologetic series where I basically answer some of the common questions that people give us about why they choose not to follow Jesus. And so the specific topic that we dealt with today was called, can we trust the Bible? Is the Bible reliable? And so we kind of answered two major questions. One, the argument about that we don't have the original manuscripts, that we only have copies of copies, so therefore how can you trust the Bible? How can you trust if the copies are not different from the original manuscripts? And the other argument I answered was that there are, errors or even contradictions in the scriptures. And how do we reconcile that with our faith? And so we answered those two questions. And from there, we set them off in a small group. And so what I want to talk about for the rest of my time, short time with you guys, is how do you make stuff that can kind of seem maybe boring interesting? So I don't think apologetics is boring. I think how we teach apologetics can be boring. In fact, when I was preparing this series, I was looking through my notes that I did this series about 2 years ago in my last youth group, and I realized, wow, this sounds like a lecture. Like, this sounds like I am, preaching to, college students as a adjunct professor. Like, this is not funny at all. This is not engaging at all. This is really dry. And I realized this isn't going to work out. I have to kind of rewrite the whole thing. And so I thought to myself, how am I going to make apologetics interesting? How am I going to capture their interest in a topic that seems kind of very dry? And so what I decided to do is do kind of a true, well, let me back up. What I decided to do is really think about what are things that would keep them engaged, that would help me share these truths and these facts without compromising the truth, but make it still interesting and fun. And so I said, I'm going to try something that's risky that I've never done before. I'm going to teach my message as a skit. And so what I did is I had this like skit in mind that is actually a true story. When I was 17 years old, I was in a car with a bunch of friends, and I just came to Christ a couple months earlier, and I was telling them how I was excited about this church event that was coming up, probably like a lock-in or something. And my friend who was sitting next to me, she told me that she doesn't understand why I'm a Christian because she believes that the Bible can be trusted. Like, she watched History Channel one day, and she heard some stuff, and she said, there's no way you can trust the scriptures. And I remember when I was 17, I didn't have an answer for that. I just loved Jesus and wanted to follow him. I didn't care about whether or not we could really trust the scriptures. I didn't understand canonicity and all that other stuff. I just thought, it's God's word, so I don't know what you're talking about. But it wouldn't be for another 4 or 5 years before I would actually have any kind of true apologetic for, can we trust the scriptures? So what I decided to do is I kind of relived that skit. I called one of my volunteers up to kind of play that character. I gave her kind of a script. I gave myself a script. And I pretend I was in my car. I put my Letterman jacket to pretend I was 17 again. And I kind of played that character. I said, hey, I'm excited about this event. And she was like, I don't know why you believe in this stuff. This is why. And we had this, like, back and forth. And then then I would pause the skit, stand up, take my Letterman jacket off, and teach what I wish I would have told her. And so then, I talked about how, we have, a lot of reliability in the scriptures, from the earliest copy to the original manuscript, there's about less than 100 years. I share all that kind of stuff in a way that was kind of still engaging and fun without compromising the humor and the entertainment value that these kids want. Like they were still trying to be engaged because they're like, oh, there's a skit going on and I'm learning stuff. And that's interesting because I have an answer for that question. Oh, and the skit's back on and it's a little silly. And I ended the skit with her saying, all right, I'm going to buy you lunch. Let's go get wings. And that's an inside joke for our kids because I love chicken wings and stuff like that. And so I really try to make a hard effort to kind of keep it engaging, because if I don't, as much as important as these truths are for these kids to get and to understand how to defend what they believe, this can be very, very dry and very, very boring. And if it's dry and boring, kids are going to walk out uninterested. They loved it. They said that they heard some of these truths before and they didn't know that. And they didn't realize, it never registered to them. And now, because it was engaging, it was funny, it was fun, that they got it. And the leaders kind of said, hey, you took a kind of topic that could be boring and made it as interesting as possible. And it was a risk that was worth it. So a question I have for you guys, I would love to see you guys write in the comments on YouTube or even on the comments on the actual show notes on the website, is how do you take kind of boring topics or topics that are kind of difficult to make it engaging and fun, and make them interesting? What are the kind of things you do? I know people who, when they have large swaths of scripture to read, they'll have kids come up and they'll each read a different passage, a different part of the passage. I know I've heard people have students reenact stories of the Bible to make it engaging. What do you do when something that can kind of seem dry to make it interesting, especially for 6th and 7th graders who maybe this topic is really, really heavy for them because they haven't engaged it yet? How do you keep them interested? How do you keep them captivated? If I could add one piece of advice to all this about how to keep apologetics kind of engaging is I feel like sometimes we feel like we have to answer every single question possible, right? What do we do with dinosaurs? Why is in the King James it talks about unicorns? Asking very, very specific answers to every single question that could possibly be imagined. And I think when it comes to this type of stuff, you don't have to answer every question. Just answer the questions that are actually relevant and current to the kid's mind. And the kids will have more questions. And so, for example, I only answered those two questions about the reliability of Scripture. You and I know there are tons more questions when it comes to the reliability of Scripture that can be answered in this type of setting. But I chose not to simply because it's maybe not relevant right now. Some of these kids, they have very specific questions. And the questions they're asking is, how can we trust the Bible? Why, what can I tell my friends about why we can trust the Bible? Why should I trust the Bible? And those are the kind of questions I really want to answer. Through this, students had questions and they wrote the questions down and they give it to me. And so what I'm going to do with those extra questions is, instead of spending time teaching on it, I'm going to write either a blog post or I'm going to make a video, put it on YouTube, and just have it as a resource for them to have later. But as far as my teaching time goes, I only have 20 minutes. I want to make sure I make the most of that time by answering the questions that they actually need to hear. And then any other questions they have extra, I will supplement that later. And so, I think when it comes to these really, really tough kind of drier conversations, make sure you make the most of the time you have on answering one, at the most, two questions, not every question possible. Hey, it's been about 15 minutes. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. Please subscribe. Please share this with a friend. Tell everybody. I love you guys. God bless. See you next week.